Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles, and I'd like to go to 3 John. Today, I want to share a little bit on the blessings and praise of sowing, or sowing blessings. And I'd like to start in 3 John. 3 John 3 tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." It is a great blessing to have prosperity. Certainly, it's God's will that we have prosperity. And it says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So how do we turn wish to shall? That you shall do that. Well, let's go to Psalm chapter 1, and we'll begin there. I want to get into the blessings and sowing blessings, or the blessing of sowing. And in Psalm chapter 1, the very first psalm, let me get there with you. Here we go. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, or he doeth, shall prosper." There it is right there. The way to turn wish to shall is for us to get to the place that the word is our delight. And the word delight simply means you find joy in doing it. You find pleasure in the word. And in that law, or in the word, doth he meditate day and night. Then he shall be like a river, or be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does is going to prosper. I handled this during our weekend, and that is, what is your diet like? You can't sustain yourself on eating once a week, like listening to our teachings once a week. You have to have a process by where you're getting the word daily. Here he does, he meditates in it day and night. If you really want to enjoy the bountifulness of prosperity, then the word is going to have to really be the center of your life. It's got to be your delight. It's got to be that which you seek after. And you shall be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. You know, we send our kids off to school, and we want to make sure that they've got a major and all these things in order that they may prosper. Well, if we just send them off with the word, they will definitely prosper. Now, one of the great blessings for the believing one is that love is the beginning of all Christian endeavor, like I taught in the love life of a believing one. So we must approach every aspect of our walk with our love for God at the forefront, paving the way and lighting the path ahead of us. It all emanates from the doctrinal understanding of the love of God and our desire to respond back to him in love. Let's go to 1 Timothy, and I want to refresh your memory on these truths once again so that you have them really set in your heart. And in 1 Timothy, Paul had gone on to Macedonia, and he left Timothy at the school of Tyrannus, which it was at Ephesus. And Timothy had the responsibility of overseeing the future teachers, the future ministers, and so forth, those who participated in training so that they could take on the responsibilities of the ministry. And we'll see in verse 3, it says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." And remember, it was just some. Some of them had, but all it takes is some. It just takes a few to get off the doctrine, and then you will have people who are removed from the doctrine. "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity." That's the love of and for God. "Out of a pure heart," a heart that's uncontaminated by wrong doctrine, "of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned," or believing without any false pretenses, "from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling." You know, I'm sure you've been in those situations where people just talk and 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 talk, and when they're all finished, you have no idea what they were talking about. You know, a lot of the theological works that you'll read are the same way. They will get on this minuscule point, then they'll spend 14 pages on this minuscule point, and then they'll put in the big lie right there, and you miss it because you're so entwined with all of this ram-a-lam that they're going through, and then when they come to the lie, you just skip right over it, and you miss it. Well, they've gone on to vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So they've moved away from the true doctrine. They are no longer uncontaminated in their heart. They no longer have the good conscience. They no longer have believing with no false pretenses, because the doctrine removes them from it. And I see this happen to people in a lot of different situations. But for us, the Word has to be at the center, and that love of God is the beginning of all Christian endeavors. I've shared with you in verse 5, "Now the end of the commandment," and the word "end" is not actually the end. It's the end in the sense of all the preparation. Like you have a runner, he's going to run in the Olympics. And leading up to the Olympics, he's training. He's doing leg exercises. He's doing runs. He may do wind sprints. He'll do stretches and all of those things. But the end that he wants to get to is putting his feet in the blocks at the Olympic, ready for the start of that race. And that's what that word "end" is. And the end for us is the day of Pentecost. That's the end. We got our feet in the blocks. Now we're ready to run for God. Now we're ready to move out with the greatness of the truth. See? And where we want to go is with the doctrine that God is love and that God is light, and we should teach no other doctrine. I know sometimes, you know, you want to try and help people, and maybe you get too much detail. I sometimes get into that, and I get into this detail and that detail, and you kind of get lost from the simplicity of that's in the truth. And the simple thing is we just need to believe. There it is, you know. We could have handled it in that respect. But it's all the work that the runner does and practices to be ready to race to the finish line. And that really began, all that preparation began from when God said, "Let there be light," all the way through the Old Testament and into the Gospels, was all to get our feet in the blocks on Pentecost and fulfill John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So don't swerve run true. And where I want to go today in that running true is on the blessings of sowing. Sometimes that's a problem for people or a part they don't want to get to. But, you know, it's a great part and it's a beautiful part, because if you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, it's to produce fruit so that you have something to share, something that you have something to give. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. It'll be fruitful. Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, because prosperity is intrinsic to doing the good works. Remember, he's made us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the purpose of having prosperity is so that we can do the good works that God would have us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm getting back there, getting close. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee," or you, "the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." The word wealth means having the resources to accomplish good. That's what it means, having the resources. The purpose of wealth is so that you may perform that which is good. And the word wealth, translated here, really means the resources to accomplish good. Now, it's more than just finances, but it's, you know, it's not limited to finances. It goes beyond that, you have the physical abilities, you have the endurance that's necessary to do good, and you have the wisdom and the instruction in which you can do good, you can teach good, you can accomplish good. Now, I want to show you this record, look at it in its context, and we'll pick it up in verse 6. It says, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to respect him." Well, to walk in his ways is to do the works that he would have us to do. And to do those works, we need to have everything that's necessary, and he's made it available. He's given you the power to get wealth, that you might have all the resources necessary to honor God, to glorify God, and to bring great glory to him. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, and fountain and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey." All these things are literal. All of those things were available into the land, but they also have a spiritual connotation to them. Like oil has the connotation of healing. The fig tree has the connotation of referring to Israel as a beautiful fig tree, you know, where it's all together and all this beautiful fruit is there. Pomegranates have the idea of wonderful pleasure. So there's a lot of these things. Verse 9, "A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt do what? Bless the Lord thy God." The word bless, in the Septuagint, in the Greek, is the word eulogeo. And when I taught you the blessings of the Father, I handled that word eulogeo. It comes from eu in the Greek, means good, and legeo or leg or logos is word, a good word. You will have praise to say about our God. Let your mouth and your heart be so full of praise for God. That's what it is. See, he brought them into this land for what purpose? Well, that you may bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. The purpose of it is so that you can praise God. That's why he makes you fruitful. That's why he causes us to prosper. And I'm going to show you how this ties in to sowing blessings, or the blessings of sowing. But then he goes on to tell us in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. So there is the opportunity that you will forget why he called you, that you will forget your purpose, that you will forget the blessings of sowing, that you will forget glorifying and praising God in this category of life and producing fruit so that everyone is fruitful and everyone enjoys the fruit. Really something. See, love is the beginning of all Christian endeavor. And we should always have love at the forefront of our hearts, particularly in our love for God, that our lives are filled with the praise of God. I think sometimes we get where our lives are filled with our needs, and the only thing we're doing is, God, I need this, God, I need that, and God, what about that, and take care of this, and all of these things. And not being focused on what you already have and sharing what you already have so that everyone is fruitful. Really something. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Back to 1 Timothy to continue to look and focus on these wonderful truths. In 1 Timothy chapter 6... In verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know, and I used to think that that was the multi-billionaires and all of that stuff. But you know who's the rich? We are. You know, you try and figure out who's rich and who's poor in our country. I mean, we consider somebody poor if they've got 3 TVs, 2 cars, and internet service and all this other stuff. We consider them poor. I think our sense of values compared to what the scriptures say are good values might be shocking to some of us. See, maybe that's me. Charge them that are rich in this world. I certainly have the things of this world. But the purpose of having the things of this world is so that I can have the prosperity in which to do good. Because, see, finances are neither moral or immoral. It's what you do with them that makes them moral or immoral. You know, money is amoral, what we call amoral. It's neither nor. It's what you do with it and how you live your life. And is it filling your heart with praise for God? Is it making you like that tree by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and whatsoever it does prospers? See, that's a life well lived. Well, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I mean, God has no problem with us enjoying life and enjoying the things that are there, and he gives it to us. That they do good. Here's the purpose. That they do good. That is purpose. That they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And the word communicate is the word for sharing fully, that they share fully of the good works, so they have the blessings of sowing, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Wouldn't that be beautiful? My, oh, my. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. The text is pseudoscience, and there's certainly a lot of that. We throw stuff in a computer, and the computer spits out some model, and we base our tax system, and we base a lot of other things on what this computer says happened 10,000 years ago, and no one even knows how old the Earth is, so I don't even know if, you know, in comparison, if you're trying to figure all this out, if you could ever get to it. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee. And I've seen it happen too, where we get off on the doctrine. For instance, I've had people, most of the questions I ever get about prosperity is, well, what about the tithe? You know, is it net or is it gross? Well, you know, when I think of the, or they'll say, isn't the tithe under the law, and we're no longer under the law, so we don't have to tithe anymore? And no, you don't. It is no longer under the law, but it wasn't under the law to start with, because originally, remember, was when Abraham came from the battle with the kings that he defeated, that he gave Melchizedek tithes of all. So I don't know. You know, I don't think Abraham sat down and figured out, I got to get my deductions. You know, I did spend so much on saddles, and we did have to get a couple of new swords and some of these other things for the battle. And once we take that all out, okay, this is what we've got. And Melchizedek, we're going to give you 10%. You know, I don't think he did that. You know, I think you make too much work for yourself. Why not just walk in love? Why not just let the love of God light your path? Why not let the blessings of sowing be the light of your path and the joy of your heart? You are to be fruitful in your season. You are to have your leaf always be green. You are to, whatever you do is supposed to prosper. Why would you worry about it? Things like that. But see, we start to try and figure things out. And I think in some of our endeavoring to figure out, we move away from the doctrine, because the doctrine is love. It's charity from a pure heart and a good conscience and faith, faith unfeigned. That's what our doctrine is. And if we're trying to figure out some other doctrine, you know, I don't teach tithing. I teach the love of God. I teach people the greatness of what Jesus Christ has done for us and what God has blessed us with. So that's where my focus is. And when your motivation in your heart is out of charity, love for and of God, you don't seek to lessen good, but to increase it. You know, just human love dictates a higher regard. Those of you have a child and their birthday is coming up, do you try to suppress love in seeking the cheapest gift you can possibly get for them? Or all of the deductions, you know, all the things they did wrong, so we'll get them a little lesser gift and all of this stuff? No, you don't. You try to do the best you can do. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it less and less? No, that we might have it more abundantly. Didn't Jesus say it is more blessed to give than to receive? It tells us in Acts, well, we ought to believe he knew what he was talking about, and that is a key to the more abundant life that he came to give us. See, I don't teach tithing. I proclaim bountiful sowing from a heart of love. It's much more rewarding. It's a lot more freeing. And it's a great blessing. Now, when I'm purchasing something, at times I tend to look for the lowest price on a particular product. But when I give it, I seek to give the most, because I believe what our Lord said, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And if he said it again, then that must be one way to enjoy the more abundant life that he came to bring. If it fights against the more abundant life, then he blew his mission, I would say, right? But he came that we might have it more abundantly. So we want to do that which is more abundantly. And I teach love because it's the greater. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is hope. No, the greatest of these is charity. So why not promote charity? Why not promote that blessing? Why not teach love? Because it's greater than our believing and our hope. Love to give and give where you love. So there's a lot of great things to understand here. I'd also like to go to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which or who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and what? Work. So isn't our life to be filled with good words and good works? Mm-hmm. Isn't our lives to be filled with praise and thankfulness? Isn't our lives to be filled with that which brings glory and honor to God? Well, there are blessings in sowing that I want to show to you. Let us go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to cover these verses. We've gone through them a number of times. But I want to just again show it to you for your consideration, and to check yourself against the doctrine. Am I living the greatness of the doctrine that God is light and God is love? That Christ freely gave me all things, that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and am I carrying those things out? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll start in verse 8. It says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of what?"
Your love.
The word sincerity is the genuineness of your love. Is it really genuine love for God because of what he has done for us? Genuine love for the brethren. Remember, the commandments are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. It's together the same. It's equal. And that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So think of that in terms of the blessing of sowing and participating in that. And he goes on to talk about several things there. Let's go to, and in verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be
rich."
It's just figurative. He emptied himself. He freely gave of everything that he had, and he didn't lose a single thing. It's just beautiful. Verse 10, "And herein I give advice, For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. You know, a number of people after we've done a weekend or we've shared some things have come up to me and said, you know, I really need to start sharing of my abundance in thankfulness to God, you know, in the blessings of the ministry and reaching out to people with the word, with that good word, reaching out to people with healing and the things that the ministry, you know, the spiritual side of the ministry has provided for people, to show my praise and thankfulness to God, not only for what he has done for me, but the things I see that have been done for other people. I go through our testimonials and prayers and things on our website. And by the way, we've updated our website quite a bit. And you ought to go on it and take a look at what's available there. But I look at the signs, miracles, and wonders that have come to pass in people's lives. And I say, this is something I personally want to be involved with. And, you know, when we started with our board of directors and when I was working full time for the ministry, I wanted to be able to share my abundance because I believe in what we're doing. I really believe in what Beloved of God has for people, what Beloved of God has done for people and continues to do for people. I'm one of those advocates for the wonderful signs and wonders, the healings and deliverance that have come to people's lives. That's something I want to give of my prosperity and my resources in full to the outreach of that. I really desire. Like I say, if you love what we're doing, then share with us. If you love it someplace else, then share with them. But don't get yourself fully involved. Be a great part of it and contribute to it in every way. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have, or you're able. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that others men be eased and you be burdened, but by an equality that now, at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want or their need, that their abundance may be supply for your want, that there may be an equality. One thing I am very blessed about with Beloved of God Ministries is we don't charge for anything. We run completely on the love of our believings, our brethren, of the beloved ones, and the blessings of sowing. That's what this whole ministry runs on. As it is written, he that had gathered nothing, had gathered much, had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Why? Because God is involved in there, and it just blesses people. See, if we've been a blessing to you as beloved of God, then share with us. But get the fullness of it. Let the greatness of the love of God just overflow in your heart, that your response back to God is you want to respond with love back to him. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the beginning of all Christian endeavors. And I think until we really are believing the blessings of sowing, we may not be approaching the beginning of all Christian endeavors. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest in Titus, and it goes on and shares some other things. And then this great record in 2 Corinthians 9, and we'll pick it up in verse 6 or verse 5. He says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. The word bounty is the word for blessings. It's you. It's a word related to euangelizo. Eulogeo. a good word. Wherefore ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. You know, that it's not a compulsion, but it's your heart response to what God has done. You see it? And that's the beauty of it. When it is your heart response to what God has done, it has been planted in the perfect soil. It's planted by the rivers of living water. See? And its leaf isn't going to wither. And whatsoever it does, it is going to prosper. You can't miss. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The text really reads, he who sows sparingly, sparingly will he reap. It makes it a figure of speech. He which soweth sparingly, you know, when you repeat the word, it's a figure of speech, puts extra emphasis on it. And he which soweth bountifully, and the word bountifully is eulogeo. It's a form of it. He that sows out of the praise and joy of his heart that he has and love he has for God, his thankfulness, his tribute to God for what he has done. He which soweth blessings or praise with blessings, he which sows blessings with blessings will he reap. That's it. You see, nature yields its bounty to the beloved. This record is actually a double figure of speech. You have sparingly, sparingly, blessing, blessing. Then you also have sow, reap. So it's a double figure of speech. I won't go into the details what kind it is. It doesn't matter. But just that you see how much emphasis is put into this one verse. And it's all in the attitude of the one that is sharing. It's all in the attitude of the one that has really seen the beauty of the doctrine of the Word of God, that it is a great doctrine of love and a great doctrine of life. Here is verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This according as he purposes in his heart, the purposes is not in relationship to the amount. The purpose is in the relationship to the heart that it's given, in which it's given. In other words, if he gave $1 billion and his heart was hating it all the way, then the purpose of his heart is stingy. But if he is doing it like the woman that threw whatever it was, 2 mites, into the treasury, it was all that she had, her purpose was super abundant. She gave all that she had. You see it? That's what that purpose means. It's not the purpose of you're trying to figure out in relationship to how much you want to give. The purpose is, where's your heart? That will determine it. And our heart should be filled with praise, filled with thanksgiving. If it's not, then you need to get to the Word daily. You need to get to the Word more often so that you can be that tree that's planted by the river of waters, whose fruit fails not, whose fruit comes in its season and its leaf doesn't wither, and whatsoever it does, it prospers. Not only does the man prosper, but what he's giving to will prosper. Wouldn't you like to prosper the brethren that you have? Wouldn't you like to prosper the family of God? Well, you know, sometimes we do it with the word that we share. Other times we do it with the finances that we give. But it's all the resources that we have that we can make bring forth more abundantly. See, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Grudgingly, necessity, attitude, See, that's what that purpose is relating to. For God loves a cheerful giver. Proverbs 22. Put a ribbon here and we'll go to Proverbs 22. I want to show you this. Proverbs 22, verse 9. It says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." One of the translations is, God blesses a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is one who has a generous attitude that comes from the inside out. It's filled with praise and thanksgiving. The word cheerful means it shows from the depth of his soul a sense of benevolence. He indicates from the depth of his soul his favorableness to the things of God. He is kindly disposed. All of these things indicated. See, there is a blessing in sowing. Our bountiful sowing is because we have been so filled and our lives so filled with blessings and praise for God. That is the motivator. See, let's go back to Corinthians. He which soweth, he sows bountifully. He sows with praise. He sows praise for God. Shall reap also how? Bountifully. He'll be praised. And let me just show you this. Verse 10, it says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness." Praise again. Eulogio, a good word. To have some, again, with praise to God. And what does that happen? What does that cause? Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You see, your bountiful sowing causes people to praise God. Some of you that went to the weekend, did you have a good time? Did you get really blessed by some of the word that was shared? Were you thankful to God to be there? Were you thankful for what you heard? Did it fill your life with praise for God at the greatness of his love and his kindness, how he figured out this wonderful speaking in tongues, how that could be the perfect prayer, the perfect answer to the situation? I can't mess it up and all that. Did that bless you to learn that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the brethren's bountiful sowing that made that available. If we didn't have people who were filled with praise for God share of their abundance and show their praise for God by sharing of their abundance, we wouldn't have had that weekend. See how it benefits? Not only does it benefit you in that you shared, but you also get the benefit of seeing the blessing yourself on the people there. Those of you that got ministered to at the weekends and got healed, did that bless you? Did that fill your mouth with praise for God? You know how you got in the door? By the bountiful sowing of all of the other brethren who share because they love what we're doing, and they love to share and walk in that wonderful love. See, our lives and the basis of this ministry is based on love, and there is a great blessing to sowing praise because of our wonderful love for God. It is the responsibility of mature believers to in turn teach our younger believers and teach our children how to love God back. Bless your hearts.